back. Double Line is holding its annual roundtable prime event in LA today, and that is exactly where you will find Yahoo Finance's Brian Sozzi. He is joined by Global Bond Strategy Fund Portfolio Manager Bill Campbell. They're going to take a look at what the market may hold for us in 2022. Hi, Brian. I hope it's warmer where you are than it is here in New York.
Well, it's a little cold in this room, Alexis. You know, you got to stay awake, that old trader thing. I just pop out the cold air, but good to see you. Thanks so much. And Bill, good to see you. I think the last time I saw you only was from the neck up in a digital box.
Well, thank you for coming to Los Angeles. It's great to have you here.
It's great to be here. What's your biggest concern for the markets this year?
The biggest concern, I think, is being reflected in the yield curve right now, and it's the outlook for growth. I think that, you know, we are looking at a couple of headwinds. Obviously, the Omicron virus, which the market seems now to be shrugging aside, despite the spike in cases. What we're seeing is, yields are rising, especially in the back end. And more important than just nominal yield levels is the shape of the yield curve to me. Mm-hmm. And the shape of the twos tens curve is starting to steepen, with the 10-year rate rising more than the 2-year rate. Now, that is the market telling us that they have a little less concern about growth and they're trying to position for a reopening trade. My concern about this is that what we've been seeing since the, you know, through mid to end of last year into this year is tightening central bank policies globally. So we all have discussed the Fed, and you know, now the Fed is clearly moved to a taper setting or a hawkish setting. But outside of the U.S., we've seen hawkish policies across the globe, from emerging markets even to the Bank of England actually hiking interest rates. If we add on top of this global central bank tightening policy, the fact that we have now seen a debt ceiling deal reached, what we're going to see this coming year, especially this first quarter, is kind of what our us bond guys pay attention to is on the liquidity front. And we're going to see the Treasury start to raise their rainy day fund, which they used last year when the debt ceiling was not in place. They were drawing cash down and putting it into the banking system. And now this year, now that a deal has been reached, they're going to be issuing more T-bills, but they're going to be pulling that cash out of the banking system to start lifting that rainy day reserve fund. And both of those elements, tightening central bank policy and removing that cash or liquidity out of the system, present additional headwinds to growth as we move into 2022, which pushes against what the yield curve is currently reflecting in these first couple of days of trading as it steepens out.
How do you position for that world where you're having essentially, it's like a vacuum, or you're having liquidity just sucked out of the system?
So I think it's going to be a very choppy environment going forward. I think volatility is going to rise. I think that inflation is going to remain fairly sticky in the near term. So trying to position in front of, maybe this backup too quickly isn't recommended. But I think as we start to see the yield curve, the twos tens is steepened to about 90 basis points right now. As it pushes, much above 100, I think it starts to get interesting, to look at a little bit of, again, the safety protection that long end yields could provide, after they back up a little bit. I think it's still too early to try to get into that trade today. But, volatility is going to be your friend, I think, in the first half of 2022. And then eventually, as we get into this first month of the year, adding a little bit of duration or rates back to the portfolio when you get a backup is also going to be a good safety hedge to hedge against, some of the growth risks that we think are building as we get into this year.
How surprised are you to see, we talked to Jeffrey Gundlach, we've talked to Jeffrey Sherman, now talking to you, this divergence in the bond market. Yet you have a Tesla out there. I know you can't talk specific stocks, but you have these stocks trading at gazillion times forward earnings. I mean, does that make any sense to you?
Well, it's concerning because I think, what we saw in the wake of the 2020 crisis was unprecedented fiscal and monetary stimulus, and that is now being withdrawn. On the fiscal side, we, are seeing, some impulses that, are left. We'll see what happens with the Build Back Better program. We are seeing in Europe the next-gen spending program that amounts to 750 billion euros worth of spending, but it's much less than what we've seen in the past 2 years. On the monetary side, the ECB has started this year their tapering of their pandemic purchase program, so they're starting to tighten on the margin. The Bank of England actually has raised interest rates, and we expect them to taper their asset purchase program as well. All of that pushes against those wild valuations that you saw. So now we need real growth to, be able to come in and support, really what has been a policy-driven, liquidity-driven market that we've seen in the past 2 years. And it's this transition that we think is going to be very volatile. Now, I think China is going to be a key variable to watch in the second half of this year, which I know we can get into in a second.
Let's stay on China here, because DoubleLine does not put money to work in China. Why is that?
That's right. We still have concerns that, when we look at investing in China, we like to invest in China via proxies or via investments that are not located in the Chinese mainland itself. We do not put money directly into the Chinese borders, despite their inclusion in a lot of these indexes, because what we haven't seen tested yet is if the Chinese authorities will leave the capital outflows available to all the foreign institutional money that's come in the past couple of years. In 2015 and 2016, there was a currency crisis, and China put capital controls on their domestic population that remain today. Domestic savers cannot take money out of China beyond $50,000 a year. Now, they have said that they want to keep those capital gates open for institutional investors, and then they got themselves put into indexes, both equity and fixed income, to attract institutional investment. What we haven't seen yet is a crisis whereby outflows are challenging the economic stability of China. And I don't know if in that case, they would continue to keep that capital avenue open for institutional investors. So until we see that test case, we're not wanting to put money to work directly in China, but what we're doing is we're putting money to work in proxies or Chinese investments that maintain the legal ownership outside of outside of the Chinese mainland.
All right, we'll leave it there for right now. And I will say this too, you have extensive views on the dollar, which I have written about for Yahoo Finance. I encourage everybody to check it out. Really just very interesting stuff. Bill Campbell, good to see you. Thanks for having us here today.
Thank you for coming.
Appreciate it.